Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? We started off shaking the Monday morning blues with our Due Time crew, and we talked about things and phrases you should never say to your spouse or partner. You know, you may just be dating right now, so we want to get you in the habit of not saying certain things. How about you're overreacting or you're being too sensitive. You know, the Due Time crew says, who are we to say, you know, someone is being too sensitive? You know, everybody's level of importance is not the other person's importance. So, you know, we can't outright tell somebody that, you know, they're just being a little too sensitive. What about if you continue to act like this, there will be consequences, you know. That one was kind of split because, you know, some Due Time crew members said, hey, you know, I don't think you should tell a person that. And then on the other hand, you had the other Due Time crew members that said, excuse me, if there will be consequences behind what you say or do, then I think you deserve a fair warning. Okay, let's get this together here. We have no business saying or doing anything without me letting you know that there will be a consequence. Okay? What about you're acting just like? Now, this one was pretty loaded because, you know, there was a thought that said that, you know, you could be insulting the individual. You know, if you said you acted just like your mama, or you're acting just like the crazy man over here, or, you know, yeah, that could really be considered hitting below the belt. Okay? So, you know, there are just things that we need to make sure that we don't say to one another just in case. You know, you may have to go back and think about you push them over the edge. Yes, that's a possibility. Yes, and only you can push somebody over the edge. Okay? Okay. Well, it was Monday, and we cannot finish a Monday without our switch tip from Shanti. And let me put it properly. The switch tip with Shanti is how we end our Monday morning. And our switch tip for the week was trust God for your process. Now, this seems to be something that more and more people are having a difficult time with. As, you know, you have to think about God's thoughts and plan for your life. You know, your plan that God has is not somebody else's plan, which very well may mean that the process might be different. Yes, the process might be different. So, you know, stop looking at everybody else's process, you know, what's going on in their life and, you know, whether they have to go through, you know, step A, B, C, and D sequentially or not, because maybe the process for their life might be a little different, and maybe the process for your life might be B, then D, then F, then H, because when we think about it, you know, that may not be the route that God wants for you. You know, it's funny enough, I had someone say to me recently, you know, why would God, you know, tell somebody to leave their family? Now, these people were not married. This couple was not married, you know, if you want to call them a couple. You know, these two people were not married. They did have children between them. And, you know, this is like the 100th time I've heard, you know, why would God tell somebody to leave their family? Well, who said that you were a family? Did God say that you were a family? Or did you say you were a family? Because if you think you're a family and you're really not a family, then when God tells you to move, then you move. Because that ain't no family. Not in the eyes of God. So I say that to say, you know, to put an extra stamp on what Shantice gave us, trust God's process for your life. Because, you know, who says you're supposed to go through these things? Who says you're supposed to go in this order? It's God's order at the end of the day. So you want to make sure you follow God's order for your life. Now, what somebody else says and all of these kind of things, you want to make sure you do what God says is supposed to happen for your life. So trust God's process for your life was the word we got last week. Okay. All right. Well, we moseyed on down. And it was Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And disciplining them kids was the topic. And I got to tell you, when you look at some of the things that our children are going through, when we look at some of the things that our children are doing, you know, you're going to have to maybe put that, fear that rod spoil the child verse in effect. You know, some of them kids need it. I'm sorry. Why do you think God put it in the Bible? Because nobody would need it. No, it's not antiquated. No, it has not exceeded expiration. Some children you don't have to discipline physically. Sometimes all you have to do is say the word. Other times, you know, you got to make sure that you lay that law down. And that's a different type of law. Don't be afraid. You know, because respect is a little different in some people's eyes than it is in others. And we want to make sure we're operating under God's jurisdiction and rule level first. Okay? All righty. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around and we had our girlfriend Vivian in the house getting us started. And we talked about those COVID numbers that unfortunately did not go down, not for one of the five states. Okay? And our wow story for last week was the Maryland woman who entered her home after being on vacation only to find that someone was sleeping in her bed, as Vivian said. Yes. Well, not one, but two. Yes. The robbers had camped out and made themselves quite comfortable in this woman's house. And upon her entry, they took her on a tour as to how to protect and safeguard her home, even showing her a lock on the window and saying, you need to get this fixed. Well, the biggest kicker that makes this a wild story was the fact that instead of her calling 911, as most of us would have done, she pulled out the cell phone and got to posting on Instagram. So already, see what disciplining children will do? Or not disciplining children will do, I should say? Yeah. Well, I tell you, you need to make sure that you got your priorities in order. Yeah, anytime you're videotaping opposed to calling for your potential safety. Well, the ladies were in the house, and those strongholds was a topic of conversation yet again, but this time how to break those spiritual strongholds. Well, the first thing on the top of the list, and I gotta keep putting this on the top of the list, is know your opponent. Know who you're fighting. Because in any dispute, any fight, if you don't know who you're up against, you're already lost. You've already lost the fight. I don't care what you take in the ring with you, because you may not even be properly armed if you don't know who you're up against. Okay? Well, how about pray, decree, and declare, oh, the victory is mine. You got to go before the Lord, and you've got to lift this thing before God. There's no way in the world we're going to fight and be victorious if we don't pray, decree, and declare. All right? The ladies did a fantastic job. Was one of my favorite episodes, actually. Personally, that was one of my favorite. They did a fantastic job last week. So if I were you, I'd definitely go back and check that out. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I do know you might need to check that one out. Okay, you know, you got to make sure you do what you need to do to win this fight against this enemy. Yes, you really got to make sure that you're always on guard. Okay, well, we could not finish off a Wednesday successfully if we did not have our Faith Over Fear with Pastor Charlene, and catch up on your faith is what we needed to talk about. Yes, always that faith needs to be in its proper order. We can't be victorious if we're not faithful. We can't be victorious if we don't have faith. Everything needs to be in its proper order. All right, so Wednesday was phenomenal as always. Well, Thursday, fantastic conversation again as we talk about betrayal. Now, it just so happened that that was a topic, and it just so happened that every single one of our stories had to do with someone betraying someone else. Yeah. God always sets the stage, and we played our game. Which one was the biggest betrayal? Yeah, that was the first time we did something like that, and we let our D-Time crew weigh out what they thought, the two situations. You know, we kept throwing out two situations and, you know, asking them to help us see what was the biggest betrayal and why. Well, here's how we ended that segment. And not only did we ask, you know, how we've been betrayed, but the time when we were the betrayer. Yes, and leave it to the D-Time crew to always, always and always have a conversation where they are transparent and just laying it all on the altar. Yeah, on the altar of truth and lesson learning. And it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal as, you know, they really let you see how God has turned their life around. Talk about in my former life. Yeah. We're not going to weigh out, you know, how big their sins were. But the fact that no matter what your sin is, God can always turn you around. Okay? All righty. Well, Friday. Friday was, oh my. The stories were just out of this world. And the men got to talking. And I got to tell you, I hope you're listening to these men. Because baby, the conversation, God must have been, he's turning it up for the men. He's turning it up for the men, and they are definitely giving us something to enter into the weekend for. And I suggest you go back and listen. Okay? All right. Because they did a fantabulous job. Fantastic job. All right? Well, yesterday, last night, the Word Prayer Project was in effect on Morgan, and compassion was the name of the game. Yes. And the prayer request. I tell you, that's the highlight of the prayer for me, are the requests and how people are just digging deep, asking God to help them be more compassionate. You know, sometimes we take such a beating in life that we can no longer be as compassionate as we once were. And it's making us miss the mark as a Christian individual, because we're not supposed to be defined by where we've come from, but where we're going. So we got to make sure that, you know, we have compassion on individuals. We don't lose that sense of, you know, caring and empathy and having sympathy for people because of what's been done to us. So let's make sure, you know, you go back and listen to that prayer if you missed it. You know, just to make sure that you got this compassion thing under control, and we can all use just a tad bit more compassion in our life. All right? So here we are, one more again. We are shaking the Monday morning blues over here on D-Time, on the D-Time with Pastor Steph. And we about to take a nice little break. And we're about to get those pens out, because we got some talking to do and some information to get. And I want to make sure you get it all, okay? So get that healthy breakfast while I give you this little breaky break. And go tell someone that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Lupus is a chronic autoimmune disease that is hard to diagnose, difficult to manage, and if not treated, can become life-threatening. Lupus affects adult women 10 times more frequently than men. There is no cure for lupus, and those affected oftentimes don't look sick.
I have lupus. I struggled for years until the Lupus Alliance gave me the help that I needed.
To help us unlock the mystery of lupus, visit milupus.org or call 800-705-6677. We are here for you.
Well, good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes. You know, just because we woke up great this morning doesn't mean that everybody woke up on the right side of the bed, as they say. Well, I say if you woke up and you were able to get up and off the side of the bed at all, it was the right side of the bed because you were able to get up. But see, that's just Pastor Steph talking. That's not, you know, that's not you. That's not everybody, you know. So, you know, although I might be feeling good and you might be feeling good, we have to say that we're shaking the Monday morning blues because we don't know who else might be going through something. And since we're all on this journey together, we want to make sure that we're helping our brothers and sisters get up on the right side. And even if they didn't, as they see it, we want to make sure that at the end of the day, we are all entering into this day in a good frame of mind so we can enjoy the Lord and all that he has for us today. Okay? Because it could be worse. Yeah. When we think about the grand scheme of things, it could be worse. Okay? So we're going to talk about that food and food safety. Okay? All right. You know, we've talked about this before, but we're going to talk about it from a different angle today. So we're going to talk about that food that's in our refrigerators and cabinets and those expiration dates and, you know, how we need to handle, how we handle our food. Okay. Well, one of the things that they say, use your senses to detect food spoilage. Okay. Excuse me. They say the best way to detect whether the food is still good is to rely on your senses. Okay. And they say smell it, taste it, use what your body gave you in order to figure out if it's spoiled or not. Now, most times you can smell something and we'll figure out, you know, if something is spoiled or not. You ain't going to have to necessarily put it up to your lips to get that done, okay? But they are bringing out a bigger issue, and they're talking about contamination, okay? And they're saying that that might be something that your senses can't pick up on because your, you know, contamination doesn't always come with a smell or a taste, okay? And they say a food may also contain pathogens but not be overtly spoiled. And they say milk is a good example because when it's spoiled, it smells bad, and if it doesn't necessarily smell bad, it will taste bad. But drinking it may not make you ill. Wow. And they say because sour milk can be great in certain recipes, and you know that because certain recipes, you know, it calls for like a spoiled type of milk. They say such as like pancakes, yes, or cornbread. Now, I have to tell you, as a cornbread connoisseur, you ain't put no spoiled milk up in my cornbread. That ain't happening, all right? Because then I would no longer be a cornbread connoisseur. Okay, yeah, ain't nobody going to want to get cornbread if it's that sour milk. But, yes, they say that sour milk is something that goes into certain foods. They say they need you to learn how to store your food to avoid you becoming ill. They say bacteria multiplies rapidly between 40 degrees and 140 degrees Fahrenheit. And something happens to the food at in between those degree points. So they say if refrigerated at the proper temperature, safe storage ranges for some common items include, all right, this is why I say you need Japan, ground meat and fresh poultry are best 1 to 2 days. Okay. They say fresh beef, veal, lamb, and pork, which we are trying. I hope you're not eating that pork anymore. But, and that's like roast beef and chops and steak, 3 to 5 days. Okay. They say lunch meat, if it's opened and packaged or if it's deli sliced, it's best be to 5 days, okay? And unopened is best for 2 weeks. Leftovers. Remember now, we're talking about if it's kept between 40 and 140 degrees Fahrenheit, okay? If refrigerated at the proper temperature. So you're talking about leftovers are good between 3 to 4 days. Okay. They say cut fruit is good between up to four days. Hard boiled eggs are good up to 1 week if kept at that temperature. Okay. Chopped vegetables stored in an airtight container is good up to 1 week. Pasteurized milk, 1 week beyond sell date, sell by date. Okay. Raw eggs in the shell, 3 to 5 weeks. And we know that, you know, the best thing is that raw eggs have an expiration date on the carton. So you want to make sure you follow that. Soft cheese open, 2 weeks. They say if your cheese is mold, throw it away. Just get rid of it. Hard cheese open, 3 to 4 weeks. And they say if it develops a blue-green mold on the exterior, cut away the mold plus an additional half inch below it. Oh, I love that piece of advice. Because that way you're cutting away any contamination that you don't see. All right, so I know that's a big list, so let me read this again. They're saying if refrigerated at the proper temperature, and that's in, because bacteria multiplies rapidly between 40 degrees and 140 degrees Fahrenheit, you want to make sure you keep these things refrigerated for this amount of time before throwing it away. Ground meat and fresh poultry, 1 to 2 days. Fresh beef, veal, and lamb. That's roast, chopped, and steaks, 3 to 5 days. Okay. Lunch meat opened or deli sliced, 3 to 5 days. Unopened, 2 weeks. Leftovers, 3 to 4 days. Cut fruit, 4 days. Hard-boiled eggs 1 week. Chopped vegetables stored in an airtight container, 1 week. Pasteurized milk, 1 week beyond sell-by date. Raw eggs in a shell, 3 to 5 weeks. Remember, check that expiration date on them eggs. Okay. We got soft cheese open, 2 weeks. If mold develops, toss it. And that would be like your cottage cheese, your cream cheese. Yes. Okay. Hard cheese open, 3 to 4 weeks. If it develops a blue-green mold on the exterior, feel free to cut away the mold plus an extra half of an inch. All righty. All right. So we got some more stuff that we're going to discuss tomorrow, because we want to make sure, you know, it's one thing to talk about all the foods that we should eat. You know, we've been talking about that for a minute now here on Sea Time. But what good is it to talk about the good foods that we should eat and we're not talking about how we store this stuff and if we're storing it properly? All right, so we want to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do as we keep this stuff even in our refrigerator. You know, most times if we put things on the back of the refrigerator, it's frozen. Yeah, it's frozen. So, and that's not always a good thing, because sometimes freezing your food helps it to deteriorate faster. Yeah, it becomes all soggy and messed up. So we want to make sure that we, you know, store our food properly. Okay. All righty. What are we talking about today? I got some stories to talk about. And some of these things are just going to blow your mind. Well, I do want to talk about a recurring story that we've been, you know, we've been having on this due time. And that's Rikers Island. You know, last we talked about Rikers Island, you know, a few weeks ago, maybe even a month ago now, time is flying by so quickly. We were talking about the Give Me Another Chance man. Yeah. Mayor Eric Adams. And, you know, the fact that the FBI was going to take over, or the feds were going to take over, and he didn't want it. You know, he said, I just got in office, you know, give me an opportunity to make this right. Well, here we go. One more bites the dust over on Rikers Island as a fourth inmate for the year, and we're only in May, has succumbed. And, you know, he committed suicide. And, you know, there's always a twist to my news stories, because it makes you scratch your head. Because they say DeShawn Carter arrived on Rikers Thursday on burglary charges. And later was discovered hanging from a sheet attached to a window in his cell. And, you know, they're supposed to make rounds. They say the guard cut down the sheet and placed him on the floor. And 8 minutes later, he was pronounced dead. Now, they're supposed to do rounds every 30 minutes. But because of the overload of individuals at Rikers, and because of the short staff over there, which is something that we've been talking about, you know, since the COVID pandemic. This is why they claim that the rounds were not made properly. And this young man had an opportunity to be hanging for whatever amount of time that, you know, he was hanging there and ended up dying. Now, he was supposedly suffering from some mental illness issue, and he's only 25. He just got there and hanged himself so quickly. So, you know, I don't know. You know, we go back to, you know, hanging this blame on, you know, not only did a lot of people succumb, you know, in death to this COVID illness, but then you have the fact that your beautiful mayor was canceling people's, you know, employment contract if you did not get vaccinated. So not only are we counting those who lost their lives and you can't replace them immediately, but you're talking about those who were legitimately ill and had contracted the virus who needed to be out. Then you're talking about the people that you put off the job because they were not vaccinated. And right before then, how many call-outs did they have? Remember, that was a huge issue. They were calling out, you know, these civil service workers were calling out. And we predicted that, you know, that you treat them like this, you know, you don't get a vaccination, you're going to lose your job, or you're going to have to, you know, be terminated, however you wanted to put it. And now another individual is dead over on the island, and you want another opportunity to get it right. Well, you had an opportunity to get it right, and this is how you squandered it. With your power. So now, you know, the very thing you were begging for is the thing that you have no control over. Okay. All righty. We got some stories this morning. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you have this mortuary, yes, this funeral home, where they found 11 bodies of people, including infants. Yes, I said it like that, 11 bodies of people. 11 people they found who were deceased, but their bodies had rot and decayed. So you have this Mark Allen, the former owner of a funeral home, and he's facing 22 criminal charges for failing to properly maintain and bury cremated human remains. And they say what they found the bodies in various stages of decay and mummification on two separate occasions over the past years. And they say this is after family members complained. Now, I'm lost here. I am really lost. Because the average amount of time that you really, like, see, like, a person who may have passed away, like, 2 weeks, you know, but a body won't, you know, based on the level of death or the cause of death, I want to say, also, you know, it won't decay that quickly. Well, also because they go through the proper, embalming process. Well, this is how he wasn't taking care of the bodies. But here's my thing. On two occasions, which means that you should have been shut down from the first time. But because you probably got away with a warning, you were able to do this to another set of families. Well, maybe by the time the families got the money to pay for it and they hadn't done anything with the bodies had not been stored properly, needless to say. And that's how they, when they went to the funeral home, they say the smell and the aroma in the place was crazy. And that's how they found out that this man wasn't taking care of the bodies. Wow. Wow. This is how we handle people's loved ones. Wow. All right. Talk about the unvaccinated. Are y'all ready for this? They say that some poll that was taken come to show that New York City banning unvaccinated kids from the prom. Now, I'm lost because I'm so glad I read this article to the degree that I did, because I had immediately, I had questions, and they, you know, what do you call these people? Politicians are asking the same questions that I'm asking. They say unvaccinated students are currently barred for more extracurricular school activities, including the prom. Now, let's start from the beginning. These children are not being separated in the school. They're not separated. So when we send our children to school, and they're talking about K through 12, they're saying that, or we know that our children are not separated. You wear a mask. They didn't say you had to be vaccinated before you went to school. You had an option of vaccinating your children, but that was not a mandate for our children to attend school. It has never been. It's something that they wanted you to do, they encouraged you to do, and you did it if you did it, and you didn't if you did it. Okay? However, here's my question. So how are you now banning them from going to the prom if you've allowed them to be integrated during the school year? And that's what the politicians are asking, and I'm so glad. They're like, well, they go to school and they're all mixed up during the school year. Now, here's the other point that they're raising. They're saying that these proms and things are being held at catering halls. You know, most schools, you know, unless they're like, you know, the lower elementary schools and sometimes junior high schools, they have them at the school, you know, cafeteria and the gyms and things like that. But we all know that when you have a high school prom, you're going to the catering hall. And they're like, well, wait a minute. Catering halls are no longer checking for vaccination cards. They're no longer mandating that you have to be vaccinated. The mayor has, and the governor, have lowered that mandate. So then at what point are you holding these children hostage if they have not been vaccinated? Because even the facility and the venue are not talking about this anymore. So how in the world are you possibly raising this issue? I'm so lost here. And they're like, why would you do this to them when these children were, okay, so we know the children of 2020, the graduates of 2020, they definitely could not graduate in person. So they were victims of, you know, having the first virtual, graduation. 21 was pretty much the same thing. They really weren't doing it in most places. And here we are at 22, where all the mandates have been, you know, lowered or, you know, done away with. And now you're telling these kids that they can't go to the prom if they're not vaccinated? Who says that? So, yeah, we're talking about some stupid stuff here. Who's making these rules? How can you go above the rules that are already made to, you know, do this? How? Well, I got one for the books. But you know what? I'm going to come back to that. Because I think I might replace our main topic with this topic. All righty. So let's talk to our wonderful due time crew. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you, my love, today?
I am well, thank you. I'm still trying to figure out, Pastor Charlene, where did the weekend go? I'm mad. Where did the weekend go? Already, I didn't have enough time. I spent more awake hours than sleeping hours, and I don't mean by a couple. I mean almost no sleep. So I'm really trying to figure out where did the weekend go. How are you today?
I'm feeling the same. It was a very long weekend for me as well. And I'm tired. But I'm here.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe after we finish chatting, we'll get an opportunity to go and get some sleep today.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm jumping in the bed. But I got some stuff that I have to do, so I can't jump in the bed. So we just going to have to tough it out today. Maybe we'll catch up on that sleep tomorrow. God spares life. All right, Pastor Sean. We got some stuff to talk about. Now, you know, we talked about our give me a chance, Maya. And here we are again after asking for another chance. Another body is found dead by suicide this go round from our people over at Rikers Island, and they say he's 25 with mental illness, and you know he hung himself, and they say that he could not be found quicker. Because the rounds that are supposed to be made every half hour is not. And now, you know, you have another body over there under your watch. Are we going to give, so here's my question. Are we going to continue to give him a chance to correct this issue on Rikers Island, or are we just going to let the feds in, one or the other? Which one are we doing?
We're going to let the feds in. You done had your chance, and you keep saying, give me a chance. Now, I know that, you know, with the Lord, he gives us a chance over and over and over. But on this case right here, the job, you cannot handle it. He really thinks that he can handle it, but these are many lives. I'm wondering, how did this young man hang himself? And Rikers Island is usually jam-packed. That's what they say. And in the mix of that, I'm sure somebody was screaming out, guards, guards, or, you know, somebody come in, you know, something is going on. And even though the staff is short, but you know that they're like, they don't really care either. You know, so I feel sorry for the young man. So I said, let the feds come in, let them clean up, because you keep messing up. So go sit down.
All righty. Yeah, they said this one was not in a dorm. He was in a cell, and he just got there on Thursday. He just got there. and already he's gone. So Pastor Solomon says, let the feds in. All right. All right. Okay. So you got this mortuary. And by the time the family is getting to the body, or the body is getting to the family, they say that it has gone through several layers of decay and mummification. He hasn't been taking care of the bodies, including infants. So you have 11 bodies. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. This is the second time they did a couple of chances, and here you are. You have not taken care of these people's family. My question is, what kind of time are we getting? This cut to the chase. What kind of time are we getting, Pastor Sean?
Oh, he ain't coming out. He ain't coming out. He's going to stay in. There is no time. How about that one? He just going to stay there, and he's going to rot and smell as well.
All righty. Give it to him and suck it to him good. All right, Pastor Charlotte.
Yes.
All right. What are we doing about these children who have been going to school all year? They have not had an option this year. Last year they were given an option, but this year they were not given an option as to whether they could remotely learn, or go to class. They were all forced to go to school. Whether you were vaccinated or not, you just were mandated to have a mask on your face. Here we are. We have spent the entire school year together, and now it's time for prom. And now you tell these young people they cannot go to the prom because they have not been vaccinated. Have they lost their minds or what?
Yes. Yes. When you were saying the story, I thought of that too. I'm like, okay, these kids been around their friends. Nobody's saying nothing. They're not wearing a mask. So what's the difference between now and the prom? And why would you devastate these children like that? Because this is something that you are looking forward to, you know, when it's prom time, you know, they all excited. And why would you punish them? Because that's, to me, is like punishment. Like, you're able to graduate, but you can't do this. You can't do that. Are you not going to let them go to the graduation as well? I think that the parents need to get together and talk to whomever they need to talk to, and then be able to, there will be no, probably by the time, it probably won't be no prom, or they all just get together and do their own thing.
All righty. And that was my thought. I was like, well, then you don't want to do it, then take it out to school's hands. Have it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mandate that you can't. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%, Pastor Charlene. Just do it yourself. Do it yourself. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'll give you a chance to go and lay down for a minute until it's your turn to talk again. Oh, goodness. All right. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you today?
I am doing well. I'm like you previous ladies, it's something with me. It's my body will literally shut down at like probably 8:30 sometimes. I go to bed so very early, so I didn't have that.
Yes, we all got to catch up to the sleep thing. We got to get ourselves caught up so we can function properly. Oh my goodness. So Tamika, we've been talking for quite some time about the Mr. Give Me Another Chance, or Give Me a Chance, or Give Me an Opportunity Mayor. And here we are again. Young Deshaun just got there, 25 years old, on Thursday, then immediately almost found hanging from his cell, and unfortunately succumbed to the injury, do we give him a chance or do we let the feds in? What are we doing?
I'm just really, really tired. You know, you keep saying, give me a chance, but a lot of times what annoys me is most like you were staying in your lane. Do what you promised us that you were supposed to do. You know, nobody asked you to go into the school. The schools have their own, you know, set of lines and things. And you want to go into the schools if you're not handling the street and the subways, and I mean, daily. It used to be, you know, not as often, but you can't even watch the news now without hearing something going on at Rikers, something going on in the streets, the subways, somebody getting attacked in their home. It has gotten, I've never seen New York by itself as treacherous as it has been, but it's just getting worse, you know, and I would say definitely bring the feds, especially when we're talking about Rikers, because things keep happening specifically at Rikers, and it makes me wonder, why Rikers? You know, you got Sing Sing, you got other areas, Marcy Correctional Facility. These are areas that are in New York or around New York, and it's not happening in those areas. Why specifically Rikers?
Yeah, well, something has seriously fallen through the cracks. I need you to get closer to your phone so we can make sure we hear everything you say. But you're absolutely right. This seems to be one area that just stays on the radar. And he needs to consider letting this one go because it has gotten much past his ability to man. So I agree. He needs to let go. He needs to let go. All righty. We're talking about these families, who they're you know, the bodies of their loved ones have not been taken care of and preserved properly for them in order to have a proper service and burial. And let's just say the proper service, because it don't matter how you're buried, but have a proper service. What kind of time are we talking? Because, see, this is your second offense. So you've done this one time already. Let's cut to the chase. How much time should what's his name? Let me give you his name. Mark Allen. How much time should Mark Allen be getting?
I don't understand, you know, just like when somebody does something one time, you're like, okay, all right, fine, no problem. But, you know, especially in the field that you're working in, you know the rules, you know the guidelines. This is not something that, you know, is unbeknownst to you. Every funeral home, every facility that, you know, crematorium, whatever you want to call it, they have guidelines. You obviously avoided it not just once, but you've gotten away with it, you know, and it's not fair. Your business, you know, especially, you know, with what you're doing, I'm not even going to provide you jail. Well, you know, in addition to jail time, you can't run your business anymore because you're not caring for the individuals that you're serving, and you're not giving them what they are paying you for. You know, your business should be shut down. You're done. You're finished.
Yeah, well, that's why I didn't ask you about that, because they shut them down already. How much time we get?
Okay.
Because you need time. You need time now.
No, you definitely need time. I'm with Charlene. You're going to watch. That's the only way that I see it, because it's not fair.
All righty. Last but not least, you know, what's going on with the fact that these children have been in a blended society in the school building since September with no option whether they could remote learn or not? You forced them to go in there and mix up together. Whether you're vaccinated or not, why now? Why now is this issue being raised when they've been cohabitating all this year, as well as the venue have dropped the vaccination? They don't have to worry about that requirement anymore. What are we doing now? What's the point of now? Yeah, I'm looking at that as well, especially, you know, it's not like you're having the prom in the facility that you've been in. You're having it in another venue. So I'm sure the venue is not saying that there's an issue. I mean, are you still trying to stick it to me whether I choose, you know, whether I choose not to get vaccinated? Come on now. I mean, I'm getting ready to go out into the world and do whatever it is that, you know, is planned for me, you know. And if that's the case and I still haven't done it and I choose to do it, then again, the whole entire time, this has been a choice. You're strong-arming me now because the one great thing that I have forward to look to, you literally snubbed me, you know, and I think that's unfair, completely unfair, especially if, you know, it's not like it hasn't been a separated school for vaccinated and unvaccinated. We've all mingled together. Now, all of a sudden, in this one instance, you're gonna strong arm me? That's not fair.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for joining us today, Tamika. And we're looking forward to continuing our conversation. We'll be back. We'll be back. Let's talk to our brother, Al. Good morning, brother Al. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there because I didn't get to say it yesterday. And, you know, I got to start it off with my quote. In life, you will face many defeats, but never let yourself be defeated. Once again, that's my one of my favorite writers, Maya Angelou. Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you, Brother Al. Happy to have you on with us. And we're talking this morning about New York City's Rikers Island. And our Mr. Give Me an Opportunity, he's begged for this. And now yet another young man is found on the premises, hanged. He committed suicide, so they say. And I just need to know whether you feel the feds need to step in, or are we going to give him another opportunity to get this together?
No, we need to nip this now. We need to get the fans involved and let them take care of it. I think what the problem with our mayor is that he's trying to be this superhero. You know, he can't do all this by yourself. You know, bring that help in and get what needs to be done. He don't focus on one thing. Something happened, he talk about that, and we gonna do this, do that. If something else happened, he leave that alone and then jump to this. You need help. You can't do this by yourself. So we definitely need the fans to jump in and take care of this because, you know, this young man hung himself or whatever the case may be, and that's not good.
Okay. You know, we're talking about this individual who 25 years old and supposedly with mental issues. So Brother Al says, along with the rest of the Due Time crew, up to this point, let the feds in. Let the feds in. Brother Al, we have this mortician, and, you know, they say they have gone in there more than one occasion, and this time, again, they have found that, you know, he has not taken care of the facility properly. They say that officials observed a swarm of flies buzzing around, and the unit's exhaust vent had a foul and overwhelmingly strong smell of decay. And the families had to be subjected to having their loved ones' bodies decayed and mummified. And they're trying to get a service done. They shut them down. For how much time should he get?
Oh, I would definitely get ready to say shut him down. Oh, they need to shut him down, and they need to give him a lot of time for that because he needs to sit back and think of what he's done to the families. You know, these families are already, you know, hurting because they lost a loved one. Then they, you know, they want to do a proper funeral and come seeing the body decayed and all this. And that. Oh, yeah, he needs to do a lot of time so he can sit back and think about what he did.
You know, they say that
you know, this facility is supposed to be, you know, kept in a certain, at 60 degrees. And it clearly it wasn't. Because, look, an average family will make arrangements for, let's say, up to 2 weeks. You've heard, you know, if they're flying people in from another country or another state and things like that, you know, you've seen, you know, services out that far. And, you know, you mummified Brother Al. Yes, he should get a lot of time. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, Brother Al, you love the kids. What are we talking about now that we have we're planning to deny our children their prom after they've been in school integrated? What's the point now? What are we talking about now?
They should be ashamed of this, though. You know, you then had these kids going through all this and that, and then they seeing that the remote is not working. So that's why they say, you know what, if you're back there, whatever, just come to school. You get these kids to come to school to be around each other. Then you go tell them they can't go to their prom. Oh, somebody need to get fired. The parents should not go for that at all. The parents need to get involved and call the superintendent. I've always said that. Call the superintendent. Because that's dead wrong. You know, you're going to make these kids go out and do craziness.
Yeah, this is not a time to raise this flag. You have no ground whatsoever, no angle to come to this decision from. So I don't know, Brother Al. I don't know what they're going to do. I say take it out the school's hands and plan your own, rent the place and plan your own thing. Let the PTA run it. Do something. Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Brother Al. We're definitely coming back today with a special, special conversation. But before we do that, let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
Hanging in there, thank you. I got a question for you before we get started. Did you get enough sleep this weekend?
No, not at all. I did the heroic thing. I gave all the mothers off at my job, so therefore I was the be-all to end-all at the job. I was the cashier. I was the stocker. I was the everything. And when I left, my wife wanted to go to Birmingham, which is an hour away, to one of her favorite restaurants. I tried to explain to her that she wasn't my mother, but that didn't win, so I had to take her anyway.
You know, it's funny, Pastor KL, that you say that, because yesterday that came across my mind how many times in the past I've asked men, you know, so what did you do for your wife, you know, for Mother's Day? And he would respond and say, well, she ain't my mother. And I'm like, yo, she's the mother of your kids. Really? So it's funny that you make that joke this morning, because I don't know what made that come across my mind yesterday, because I didn't hear it yesterday, but it just passed my head. And I was still kind of scratching my head, Pastor Dale, from years ago when someone made that statement. And I'm like, really? I don't know.
Yeah, but look at it from this aspect, Pastor Seth, that the children are grown. So your children need to do something for you. So they grow. Now, you know, when the children are small, you go out and you buy cards and little trinkets from the kids. But now they're grown with children. They're supposed to take you out. And it's funny, folks, because for the last three years, they've taken her out. But this year, since one is pregnant and one in Mississippi, they couldn't come to Alabama. So, of course, I had to be the baby daddy.
You know what? But, you know, I've considered that. I've considered that, Pastor KL, where we're talking about, you know, hey, you know, the children should now, you know, take on the task of saluting their mother. However, you wouldn't have healthy children. You wouldn't have sane or productive children. You wouldn't have
children who have been a benefit to the society and the community, if not for mom. So are we still not saluting her?
I salute her from the house.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I hear you, Pastor KL. I hear you. We're talking today about this Rikers Island issue again, Rikers Island for the fourth time this year, and we're only at the beginning of May, so that's an average of one body a month that has been found, on the site of Rikers Island, deceased. And, I just need to know, after the petition to give me an opportunity has been raised, and you were given the opportunity. They did not move the feds in. Are we giving him an opportunity, or are we at this point letting the feds come in and take over? What are we doing?
I'm definitely letting the feds come in and take over. But I would say something, that this should be an incentive or a motivation for people who want to turn into crime, because you could go to Rikers Island. And with your mayor, this is what's happening. So this would make me want to change the whole idea of doing anything wrong, because I don't want to go to Rikers. Because first of all, I don't want to be in a facility. And now that I know that this mayor is over it, I could die. So I would definitely be turning it over to the feds, because he's doing, from what I'm hearing, he's not doing anything right. Everything he touches is going the other way.
Yeah, that seems to be his ratio, 0 to 0.
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard. I have to be honest. I have not heard any productivity. Everything in this city under his watch has gone straight to hell. It was already bad. The MTA was already bad. It's worse. The crime was bad, but it's now worse. You got Rikers Island, who was bad. That was bad. It's now worse. So I don't know, Pastor KL. He's really got a bad ratio here. I agree with you. We're talking about this mortuary. They say that Mr. Allen is facing, for his negligence of these bodies, a maximum sentence of 11 years in prison and $110,000 in fines, which is $10,000 for each body. For violating the California Health and Safety Code. Should this $10,000 go to the family? Is this enough? And is this enough time in jail?
Well, how much time did you say?
He's getting, he can face up to 11 years in prison, the maximum sentence. And it looks like an average of a year per body. That's what it looks like. An average of a year per body.
I would say he should do at least 5 years per family, because the family had to go through it. You know what I mean? And so I think he should do 5 years per family. So there's 10 families, he should do 50 years. I mean, like it was already said, I'm already grieving. I'm already in turmoil that I've lost a loved one. And now my final viewing, he's looking like a mummy already? No. Yeah, he should do some years.
All righty. Let's talk about these young people who have been, they've gone through a rough year already. They've been forced to integrate. They did not have the option of staying home. They've had to tough out this year with mask wearing and all different types of safety protocols. Should they not have a prom that's integrated, or should they have a prom that's segregated?
I think this way. I think now you're punishing me. Now, I know it's been quite a few years since I've been in high school and had a prom, but in my days, there were certain criteria that you had to pass in order to be selective to even go to the prom. So here I am. I passed all my classes. I did everything I'm supposed to do, and I've worked hard to get to this place where I can be rewarded. And now you're telling me I can't be rewarded because I don't have a vaccination, or I might not have a vaccination? I think that's crazy. And this is why, or this is how we keep on saying all these children have issues, is because when I try to do good, it comes evil. You know, you won't let me be great. So if I can't be great, then I might as well go on the other side, because you're not going to reward, you're not going to see me when I do great. But as soon as I do bad, then all the red flags come up. So here I've done everything I could possibly do to get to this prom, to get to the prize, and now you're saying I can't have the prize. Yeah, I think that's a problem.
All righty. Well, the crew seems to be unanimous on everything today, and definitely we want to salute these young people. You know, a prom is the icing on the cake. And the graduation is the candles, all the candles. And you definitely don't want to let these children go an entire year. I was one who they never gave us an explanation. But all of a sudden, we had no prompt. They just said to, and we didn't have a disruptive or a bad class, but they just canceled our prom. They just said no prom. We had a senior trip, but we had no prom. And like it has been said, you know, these children are looking forward. They've worked hard. This is the cap of the year. You know, a chance to get dressed, and Pastor Kale and I have talked about some of the outfits that, you know, we've seen. You know, but, you know, whether we agree with how they look or not, you know, this is what, you know, these children have worked toward. And to think that you would actually now throw up a trump card of vaccination or not, nah, that's insane. So, you know, we just pray that, you know, the right thing is done, and those politicians and parents will raise enough money to get overturned. So, you know, I have one story today, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm going to toss up our normal relationship conversation for. And it is what they are calling in Oregon the Menstrual Dignity Act. And the Menstrual Dignity Act requires all K through 12 schools to provide free sanitary products to students, along with instructions on how to use them. It has been signed, this law has been signed into effect by Governor Kate Brown, that as of 2022-23 school year, that products will be available in all restrooms, male, female, and all gender restrooms in every K-12 school. They say school building where education occurs. There has been issues raised, and I won't bring up the issues because I'll leave them up to our due time crew to bring up these issues. And I will later on, if you miss any that have been brought up, I'll include them. But they say to ensure timely compliance, that they have ordered 500 dispensers. Dispensers have been installed in all elementary and middle school girls' bathrooms, and more will be installed in all remaining bathrooms, including boys' restrooms, as of next year. I'm going to stop talking right now. I'm just going to let that marinate. I'm going to periodically read more and more of the article as our due time crew responds. And I'm going to respond. I'm going to start with Lady Tamika to go around. Tamika, what's your thoughts?
I'm just extremely mad. I'm not understanding, you know. As far as I know, and I've been out of the school system for a while, but there are a lot of facilities or bathrooms that I'm aware of that still carry the dispensers just in case you happen to be out and about and you forget. You know, as women, a lot of times some of us don't carry, you know, a tampon or a pad with us at all times. I'm looking at this in two ways. The one thing that concerns me is that depending on your body, and I'm specifically gearing towards tampons, depending on your body, you know, especially if we're talking about a child, it may not be, good morning, it may not be appropriate for you to use something like that, and you could cause damages to yourself. You know, now the other thing that I'm thinking about is in a men's restroom. We're talking about, you know, a full men's restroom, you know, and or a child, a male child, especially on the mindset of gearing towards something other than male. Where are you putting it? You know, and if you are putting it somewhere, again, we're talking about the health, you know, and the mentality of someone who would utilize it and put it in a wrong place and detriment their health. You're going to have some people that are going to try anything, and it's going to cause some real serious issues. And how do you get to the heart of why is such and such acting that way? Because they're not going to tell you what the problem is. I'm mad. I'm completely confused. My head hurts right now.
All right now. Brother Al, what are we talking about here?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I did miss some of it, but I heard something about placing something. I don't know what it is. They placed it in the bathroom, but I disagree with it because, again, men bathroom should be men bathroom.
I
don't care because it's the way I'm listening to Lady Tamika, if something ain't right. So my thing is,
okay,
if you're going to do that for these people, get a separate bathroom just for them. I'm sorry. Get a separate bathroom just for them. You know, you got, like Lady Tamika said, you got these young kids going in there not understanding what's what. And I'm telling you, you're going to be in the boys' bathroom. I'm telling you right now, the boys going to violate it. They're going to break it up. It ain't going to work. Whatever they put in there, it's going to be broken up and destroyed because that's what these young boys do because they don't understand it. They don't want it in there. So that's going to be a serious issue. Again, get a separate bathroom for the transgender or whatever you want to call them. Get a separate bathroom for them. You know, we shouldn't have to be, you know, exposed to that stuff.
All right, so Brother Al, let me bring you up to speed. In Oregon, Governor Tate Brown signed the Menstrual Dignity Act. And the Menstrual Dignity Act requires all K-12 schools to provide free sanitary products to students along with instructions on their use. Starting next year, the 22-23 school year, products will be available in all restrooms. They say to ensure timely compliance, PPS, who's over the public school system, ordered 500 dispensers, and they have been installed in all elementary and middle school girls' restrooms, and more will be installed in all remaining bathrooms, including boys' restrooms next year. Again, this is the Menstrual Dignity Act.
Yeah, he done lost his mind. Yeah. You know, you done definitely lost your mind. Now, I can understand the girls' bathroom because sometimes the young girls, you know, get their menstruation, early. And I can understand it. Now you're putting it in the boys' bathroom, too. You know, I'm just kind of disgusted with that. Like, are you serious right now? So this is what I'm saying about these kids are confused because they just force it on us. You know, they just like, okay, you know what? This is what it is, and you have to go by this rule. You have to do this. So, yeah, he done lost his mind. He must got a transgender child or something. He like, oh, I'm going to put this law in to make sure everybody good.
Ooh, I don't know, Brother Al. I don't know. Pastor KL, what are we talking about? Let me see something here. They say, because I got a text, instructions on how to use tampons and pads will be posted in all bathrooms, female bathrooms and male bathrooms. They say the Beaver State District also encouraged parents to talk to their kids about reducing the shame and stigma surrounding getting their periods, according to the network. What are we talking about, Pastor KL?
I'm talking about they're crazy. That's what I'm talking about. First of all, you're going to have directions. What, you're going to have a diagram? I mean, you're going to say, insert here. Do this. Do it. No. Listen, for a dad who has five girls, if one of my girls in elementary school came home with a book bag full of tampons, we're going to have problems. My wife and I, we need to be the ones to explain this whole thing and sit down with you. I don't need you providing, listen, you can barely provide them an education. Now you want to provide them tampons. Now what you going to put in the men's bathroom, condoms? I just don't understand how this could be a good thing from elementary school. Now, maybe high school, because as, you know, I think one of the women say that sometimes we don't always carry, you know, so maybe high school. But in elementary school, no, I don't even want you to start thinking about that in elementary school until it happens. No, thank you.
All righty. Well, I'm going to continue to read a little bit more, then we'll go to hear what Pastor Charlotte said. They say in March, the State Education Department also issued a Menstrual Dignity for Students toolkit containing instructions on how to use menstrual products and tips for menstruation positive language for families. They say, importantly, the Menstrual Dignity Act affirms the right to menstrual dignity for transgender, intersex, non-binary, and two-spirit students by addressing the challenges that some students have managing menstruation while minimizing negative attention that could put them at risk of harm and navigating experiences of gender dysphoria during menstruation, part of the kit's instruction read. Pastor Shaw, what are we talking about here?
Okay. My first thought was, why are we putting it in the boys' bathroom? Because the boys will take it and do other things with it. We already have a problem with the boys ganging up on the girls, so they might try to use it abusively. Second of all, everybody as women, we all cannot wear the same thing. You don't know the body. So therefore, it's not time for you to teach my child of anything. What happened to going to the nurse? The nurse is supposed to have stuff on there, and they can't give your child anything until they call the parent. What else? What you're opening up something that is going to cause a problem. You might put it there for a reason and thinking that you're helping, but in the long run, you can hurt somebody. I wouldn't want anybody to teach my child anything about that. Many times to learn it, I agree with Pastor KL, you come home and let your parent do it. Why is the school trying to do all of these things out of place? Teach my child of school stuff and leave that to the parent. Now, if the parent doesn't know about it, then that's when they have the opportunity to talk to their doctor about it. Because you can actually do more harm if they don't know what they're doing, and plus if they're allergic to something. That's within. So they need to think about that too. And this agenda thing, let me leave that.
Oh, my. You know, I want to read a little bit more, and then I'll give you one more round of response. They show a TikTok video that shows a tampon dispenser inside a boy's bathroom. They say that thing has gone up in an uproar. This was one of the first times I've seen where they have a law that goes into effect, and this has been, you know, a big deal, because generally, you know, they show something the opposite. They say that one comment, I can't believe we're even discussing this. Why is the governor, Kate Brown, putting free tampons in the boys' bathroom? Clearly, she cares more about what's going on in the bathrooms than what's going on in the classroom. They ripped at this Menstrual Dignity Act, and it says that some of the responses were, this is where my head went immediately. Only females can menstruate. Only females should be in the female bathroom, and only males should be in the male bathroom. They said the Menstrual Dignity Act is another example of liberal maniacs forcing the population to accept their mentally ill beliefs. They want parents to encourage children to become different. They say that some argue that the law subjects girls to bullying and shaming for using the products. They say that they found that 80% of teens already feel there is a negative association with menstruation. They say they have not considered the trauma girls will experience when boys run up and down the hallways waving tampons and pantomiming insertion. They say that ridiculing girls at their most vulnerable is not dignity. They say that the intention is that all students have an understanding of menstruation as a positive part of human development without shame or stigma. Brother Allen, we'll give you an opportunity to respond to what was read, or any thoughts that you had since then.
Yeah, that's absolutely just insane. I mean, what they're saying is right. You know, I mean, only a female can, you know, have that time of the month, not the men. So why are you forcing it And, you know, and I've been saying that for the longest. They force this stuff on the kids, and the kids are so confused. And they write. I said from the beginning, once they put the dispenser on there, the boys going to destroy it. They're going to take the stuff out. They're going to run down the hall and play with it. They're going to show it to the other kids. It's going to be a big mess. And what they're doing, they're just encouraging this kind of behavior. You know, they saying, okay, no, it's all right to do that. So, you know, I'm just disgusted, and it's a mess, absolute mess. And that's why we have to talk to our kids.
All right. Pastor KL, additional thoughts.
Yeah, I'm still disgusted. I'm still frustrated. I don't understand this whole thing. We have these dispensers. You know, you might as well have on the side of this dispensers, you know, like period panties. You know, get some bloomers. You know, for the occasion. You know, put some Midol in there. I mean, and then I don't understand why are you trying to educate the boys of this. You know, at elementary school. Why do they need to be educated on that? They're not going to get anything. The only blood they're going to get is from a cut playing basketball, playing football. That's the only thing they're going to get. So why does it have to be in there? What, in case? Is that the overflow? In case it runs out in the girls' bathroom, then, hey, can you go into your boy in your bathroom and get me something? I'm not understanding the whole logic of this thing. To me, it's totally ridiculous. You're setting stuff up for more problems in the school. Y'all already can't quote unquote control our children. You think you are controlling after this? This is gonna be the biggest joke. This is gonna be the biggest joke. You don't have to go to no comedy show. This is gonna be the biggest joke.
All righty. Pastor Charlene.
Okay. First of all, you should be teaching your girls that nobody needs to know when you have your menstrual anyway. That's a private thing. And just like it was said, the boys is going to act crazy. They're going to be running up and down. And now people will know, not just the boys and the girls who don't like you and all of that, because now it's going to be weird that you're isolated, because now they're going to say, oh, so-and-so got her period, you know, and they're going to make a joke of it. They're going to make her feel bad, you know, and I don't understand why would they even want this. This man must not have no daughters. He is not compassionate towards anything. And I just feel that here go once again. If the parents don't come together and stand, this will happen. This can happen, you know. And now if it's in one place, it'll start going to another school. So they need to all come together, because it's not right. Your children should not be able to have, you already have bullying, you know. Now you adding something else? No. They need to stop it.
All righty. And Lady Tamika, you have the final word today. What are we saying?
All right. So over this weekend, I had the pleasure of going to to the Barclay Center. And inside the women's restroom, the first part of the opening, they had urinals, which I stood there and I contemplated. I'm like, okay, so who's using the urinal in the front of the bathroom? So we're standing in a line, because when you first come into the entrance, the first portion that you see are urinals that are literally facing. And I'm saying to myself, who's using it and how? And so with the information that you're giving us about, you know, female products being placed in a male's bathroom in any way, shape, or form, doesn't make sense to me. They have no way of using it. You know, and if you are using it, then there's something seriously wrong. And 9 times out of 10, if you're using any of these products, you're going to have some health issues, because you only have one place to put it. And so there's going to be some major residual health issues, you know, especially with the child who's not telling their parent. You know, I don't like the fact that you exclude the parents completely. You just decide to put this in a facility, and they just, you know, and I do feel like, you know, women in general are, even as adults, get, you know, bashed for something that they can't control. You know, how is it going to be any different?
for a child, you know, especially in an area from kindergarten all the way up, you know, even as adult women, we get ridiculed. There are jokes about those type of things. And so why should this be any different? I think this is, you know, like a numbskull kind of idea, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
All righty. Thank you so much, my due time crew. We had to take a switch today to, address a bigger issue, and this is relationships in a different way. Thank you so much for your contribution, and I pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, everybody, as well.
Everybody have a good day. All righty. Okay. Well, you know what time it is. It's Monday at the top of the hour. We're almost out of here. But before we go, we got to have our switch tip with Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. A tad confused, but I'm okay. Thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. What you got for us today?
Okay, today I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 103 is remove your calluses. Now, last night, Pastor Steph, you had us praying about compassion, and as soon as I read the announcement, my heart hardened because I was just saying that I was tired of some people. Not really tired of them. Well, no, I'm lying. Tired of them. And it was like, God has me opening my heart up to people who are just boldly rejecting it. And again, like I said, you know, a lot of times I humble myself by remembering or asking Jesus to remind me of when I've done the same thing to him that I get mad at people doing to me. And it just wasn't clicking at first, and then it would click and then immediately go away, and I get, you know, a little agitated all over again. And I just kept, you know, trying to remind myself, okay, Jesus, yeah, I remember, you know, back in March, you know, and I remember back in 2017 when I did, okay, you right, Jesus, and you forgave me. But it just wasn't sticking, right? So when you started the prayer, it was like, okay, you know, God had me position myself physically in a different way last night, and it did help for the prayer to sink in, you know, a little more. And, you know, I was very grateful. And when I was thinking about, you know, asking God this morning, okay, God, what should I talk about, that didn't come to mind at first. I had something else, and then he brought me back to this. And I was like, you know what? Where's my definition, God? So callous, showing or having an insensitive and cruel disregard for others. So that is the exact opposite of having compassion. Synonyms for callous is heartless or cold-hearted. And when you're heartless or cold-hearted, I don't even think insensitivity is the word. I think cruel should be focused on a lot more. Disregard should be focused on a lot more, because again, as Christians, we have to make sure that we're making room for God to show us how we humble ourselves, meaning we put other people before ourselves. We put other people's concerns and other people's needs before ourselves, because we're supposed to learn how to trust God to take care of us while he is using us to assist him with taking care of others in multiple ways. You know, I know the first way a lot of times we think of is finances, but I'm going to be honest, it'd be a lot easier to give somebody my last dollar sometimes before you talking about opening my heart to these people, Jesus. Like, but again, when you talk about living a life that is following in the footsteps of Jesus, in a life where you show that you're for God, he has you doing things that requires a big sacrifice. And again, for me, it would be easier for me to give you my last dollar. It may be even easier for me to give you my last buffalo wing. For those of y'all who know me, y'all know how I feel about my buffalo wings, than for me to open my heart to you. And it brought me to Isaiah 5:20 in the New Living Translation, which reads, "What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter." Meaning, what sorrow for those who have their own interpretation of what is what. when God says, this is good and this is what I need you to do, and you're like, yeah, I don't know about that. I ain't finna do that. I just did that 5 minutes ago. It made me mad. So I'm going to go ahead and do this. Listen, God, I think you're telling me to make this phone call, but I think by me not speaking to this person right now would do a whole lot more good. You telling me to call, that conversation may go left, Jesus, because it's going left in my head before I even pick up the phone. But no, you have to make sure that you're following what God deems good. And one of the things that I've learned to ask him is, please help me see things the way you see things. When you say that I need to be doing this, please give me the enthusiasm to do this. When you tell me I need to stay away from this, please help me to feel very disgusted about this, so I can continue to stay away from this. And having a callous heart is a choice. You choose to be heartless. You choose to be cold-hearted. John 8:44, New King James Version, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Which means, again, when you choose to follow your own way and you choose to allow your heart to be hardened. Now, there is a bit of a twist to this that I was reminded of the other day, and one of the best references biblically is Pharaoh. When you keep hardening your heart, after a while, God now says, okay, this is what you want. I'm going to now make sure your heart stays hardened to show you who I am. And that's scary. That means when God allows you to get those epiphanies, and when God makes room and gives you the opportunity to have a change of heart and to start leaning more towards compassion, he's no longer giving you that opportunity when he now hardens your heart. So you have to really make sure that you're being careful about the choices that you're making. And after listening to these stories and the topic that Pastor Steph just had the Due Time crew analyze, the powers that be, these people that God has allowed to be in position because we wanted to harden our hearts against him, now he is putting people in position. He's allowing his people to have these seats where they can now make these choices, and their hearts are obviously hardened because this stuff here doesn't make any type of sense. It's like, how do you really analyze this? This is now a product of us having a calloused heart towards God and his commandments and his lifestyle and his ways. And when we don't even want to consider, so let me tell you something. Again, I said one thing. 10 minutes later, I get the announcement about compassion. Okay. So you obviously trying to tell me something, God. And even with me being more annoyed by the second, I still had a choice. Do I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? Because, again, I'm telling you, it was something as simple as don't be in this room during prayer. I need you to be in a separate part of the house during prayer. And I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't even realize it was for the prayer. I thought it was for something else. And it wasn't until after the prayer, I was like, that's why you needed me to be in another part of the house. Because just the positioning of my body open me up and help me to receive the other prayer requests, not just my own, and the actual prayer that Pastor Steph closed with. So again, having a callous heart is a choice. You have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision and making the switch from being heartless and cold-hearted to making sure that we're removing the calluses from our hearts and our minds. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shanti. Thank you. Have a blessed day. Oh, my goodness. Amen.
Thank you, too.
Thank you. Let's get this benediction. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth,
nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 8:38-39. You know, every time I think we get a new story or we get a story of old stories, this has really taken the cake today. When you sign a Menstrual Dignity Act, the first thought that came to my mind, like I said, was, well, wait a minute. How do you put menstrual products in a male bathroom, even if they figure that they, in their own mind, you know, non-binary and transgender, and you can't menstruate. So even if you thought that this is who you are, or you felt that this is who you are, I'm not going to challenge that. Do what you do. I know that is a fact. I may not be able to tell you how you feel factually, but factually, I can tell you that you cannot menstruate. But like Shanti said, think about the hardening of the heart. Where you don't want God, you have said no thank you to God. And I talk about this a lot here. We are living in this world where God is showing us what saying no to him is about. What saying no has led us to. What saying no, where that's gotten us. We don't have options now. And I say to people all the time, everybody, oh, I'm having a baby. I am no longer happy about the population and the repopulation of this world. Say what you want to say about Pastor Steph, but this is the point that I've been bringing up. We don't have a say over our children. We don't have a say over what goes on. And when I say that we don't have a say, I don't mean that if we fight, we can't overturn things, because I honestly believe that if there's enough fight with all of these parents in the school system, that it can be overturned. Because one monkey don't stop no show. Anything can be overturned at the end of the day. But initially, we have no voice. Years ago, there was a standard in order to put things into place. There were stages and channels and you had to do this, and it had to go through that process and this process and that process. And people had to vote, and people had to have, you know, had to be able to, were given an opportunity to speak up. And now, nothing. I was trying to find a quote where someone says already that there are young ladies. Oh, here it is. A 2021 service commissioned by Think and Period found that 80% of teens already feel there is a negative association with menstruation. Why? Why? It's a normal process of life. Why? Why should that, there should be a negative issue around menstruating? We ain't never been able to help whether we menstruate or not. That's something that happened at the beginning of time. From the time God created this world and Eve, that process started. So how in the world should there possibly be a negative issue or connotation when it comes to this? I'm so lost. So instead of us putting into the school helping them to understand that this is a normal process of life. Give classes regarding that. Or if you feel that, okay, there are other people who make you feel bad, then give sensitivity classes. Because even if you turn five people, they have the potential of turning five other people, which end up having the potential of turning five other people. And as they used to say on the commercial, and so on, and so on, and so on. This, having an understanding of where the psyche is today, that enables us to address and to begin to teach. And it came up, I think I was conversing with Shanti, but I said to her, when, or I don't know who it was. I don't even know if it was in the service on Sabbath. But I said, when somebody said, well, you know, somebody said something, and they shouldn't say that. And I said, but think about it. If they don't say it, then you don't know what to pray for. If I don't know how you feeling, then I don't know how to pray for you. You know, some of these things are you know, you need to keep that to yourself. Other times, God allows it to come out, because how else do we know what we need to pay attention to? How else do we know what we need to bring to the Lord? Because we'll be praying for them to get a job, and we need to be praying for them for how they treat their spouse and the mother they are in the home and the leader they are in the home and all kinds of things. But we'll be able to target our prayer a lot differently. So my thing is, if you know that there are people who already have this misconception or the shame of having a menstrual cycle, then start teaching some other things opposed to putting sanitary pads, the money. Look at the money that's being used uselessly. Because even if you thought it was a good idea, it's waste for money. The females are not going to run out of the products in their bathroom and now go to the overflow room that's in the boys' bathroom or the overflow bin that's in the bathroom to use theirs. That's not going to happen. You have literally wasted our money to put this stuff in a bathroom where you're now teaching all kinds of nonsense and useless things. And this is why we need prayer. This is why we need Jesus. This is why we need to bring these things to attention of the Lord. This is why we need to bring people to God. Because this is why we are going into the toilet quick and quicker, because we're not focusing on the right thing and we're not addressing and taking the proper things to the Lord. Let's get on our game and take to God the things that are important and stop messing around and playing around and throwing this stuff in the garbage and not doing our job. You've been listening to Is Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through for us big time as always. Thank you for hanging out with us today and helping us to shake the Monday morning blues. Please don't miss this opportunity to give God your life, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, where is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day, I love you.